You going to introduce the music tonight?
Well, I think this is Cheryl and Christy.
Oh, is it both of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're by tape because Christy's not with us live, but Cheryl is. So.
Okay.
Thanks, gals.
All right, let's go and I'll get you guys a full request.
So sweet Lord, you are my living Savior. So sweet Lord, for take the divine nature, save me, heal me, make me whole, deliver me, preserve me.
Thank you. This is a song I wrote about the Bosnia-Croatian War back in, I think it was 95. What will it take for you to reach out? What will it take for you to feel the chill? That's the reason why we're here.
Amen. And here we are back live again. And that was live music. I don't care what you say.
It was live.
Why don't you introduce this couple, honey?
Well, this is Thurman Scrivener and his beautiful wife, Cheryl. And we're so glad to have her with us tonight because lots of times she won't come up on the set with us. And so I know Thurman's delighted to have her with her. With us. And you guys celebrated an anniversary yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
We flew back home last night.
Congratulations.
We were out here making television shows on our anniversary.
Right.
I did have to fly her home last night, and we did go out to dinner.
Okay.
You know, and so after dinner, we went to the Ministry Center, and I worked till 11:30, and she worked till 1:30, and then we went to bed, and then we got up at 7, flew back out here this morning.
Oh, wow.
Praise God you've been blessed with an airplane or two.
Yeah. In fact, we have been blessed. It is wonderful to have these airplanes that we can fly ourselves, so we can do that.
Yep.
Yesterday, what we've been doing here recently, the Lord really laid this on my heart. I talk about a lot of miracles and a lot of healings, and the Lord just laid it on my heart. It's just like He told me. This time I didn't hear an audible voice, but He really put this on me heavy. You need to take those people that I have delivered and healed, and you need to take them out to GLC, and you need to let them tell their story about what I did for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we've been doing. In fact, the first group, there was three people from Manny, Louisiana, that received tremendous miracles, as far as I'm concerned. One of those gentlemen down there, he had, when I went down and spoke about 3 years ago, I guess it was. About 4 years ago, this man, he had been working in a farm like thing, and a huge tree fell across a tractor he was driving and fell on top of the tractor and crushed his legs. Well, they finally got a big crane and got the tractor and got the tree off of him, and they took him to the hospital, and they done surgery on his knees and put steel pins in his legs and done all kinds of things, and for 21 months he had not walked a step. And I was down there teaching the Word of God. And a little church, just a little church, probably more than 50, 75 people at that little church. And Manny, Louisiana is a small town. And the very first woman that came up when I got through preaching, I said, if there's anybody that needs a miracle or a healing from God, come up and I'll pray for you. Well, this lady, Norma, she was the first one come up. I didn't know her name, of course. She came up and she was just shaking like crazy. And I said, ma'am, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I have Parkinson's and lupus. And so I just took my right hand and reached up and laid it on her shoulder and said, in the name of Jesus. And instantly her shaking hands got rock solid.
Glory.
Right in front of my eyes. When you see the King do something like that, I mean, I thought, my goodness, the gift of miracles has come upon me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God says He turns these gifts loose as He will, as the Holy Spirit will. And I thought, wow. So I didn't know what all He had done there, but I saw her stop shaking instantly, and she was just shaking like that. You know, and when I touched her, just rock solid. So I kind of run over to the gentleman on the front because they had brought him in on a pair of crutches with a pair of steel braces from his waist down to his ankles. And when they set him down, of course, on the front row, his legs were sticking straight out. And I went running around there and I said, sir, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, this big tractor, I was driving a big tree, fell across this tractor and crushed my legs. And he said, they done surgery on me, but said, I've not walked a step in 21 months. I said, well, Jesus said in John 14:13, anything we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He'll do it. I said, do you believe that? He said, sir, I'm a Baptist, and if it's written in that book, I believe it. I thought, praise the Lord. That's the kind of faith God's looking for.
That's right.
So I knelt down in front of this gentleman and laid my hands on his knees, and on behalf of that verse in John 14:13, I asked the Father in Jesus' name to give him a new set of knees. I said, Lord, thank you. It's done. I said, now, sir, you believe that? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, then take that steel off. Take it off and let's throw it away and stand up and walk. And he started unstrapping that stuff. And he took that steel off and he laid it down and he laid it down on this side. And I said, bend your legs. And so he pulled his knees up under him for the first time.
Glory.
In 21 months. And he pulled him up there. And I reached down and got him by the hand and I jerked him up out of there. I said, stand up. Of course, as he started coming up, his knees bending, putting weight on him, he said, oh, it hurts, it hurts. I said, I know it's going to hurt. The enemy's going to make it hurt. He's not going to let you get out this easy. But I said, we're fighting a fight of faith here. We're not going to lose. I give him a jerk. I said, take a step.
Amen.
He took a step. And when he took that first step, his eyes got big. And I jerked him again. I said, take another one. And I jerked him again. And he took a third one. And by this time, he was walking. And the podium was about 4 or 5 steps over there where we were in the middle. And I said, you're on your own. Walk. And he walked around that podium 3 times. And then he realized, I can walk. And he broke down that center aisle to that church and ran all the way to the back door and back with both hands in the air screaming, God is awesome.
And 21 months.
Yeah, it'd been 21 months. Hadn't walked a step. And that was 4 years ago. And we were going to bring him up here and give his testimony. And so also there was another lady that when I was down there preaching, she had a friend by the name of Paula. And she was out in California and she'd been riding a horse out there and the horse had reared up or something and she fell off the back and broke her back. And so she was in excruciating pain. And so this friend of hers, when I was preaching in Louisiana, she asked me if I'd call this lady and pray for her. So I said, sure. So I took the cell phone and I called her and talked to her about 45 minutes and built her faith and told her some of the promises. And she was already a strong Christian woman. I mean, she knew the Lord and she was really knowledgeable of God's word. So that's why it didn't take me but about 45 minutes to build her faith. I told her, I said, now I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. And I did. And I said, God expects action. I said, you got to do something. I said, do you believe you're healed? She said, Jesus made me that promise. It's done. I said, then woman, I said, sick people stay in bed. Well, people get up and go do something.
Glory to God.
And she scooted over to the edge of the bed and got up and dead silence on that cell phone for about a half a minute. And I thought, what happened? And all of a sudden, she's screaming, I'm healed. I have no pain in my back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's been at least, what, honey, 3 years ago,
hasn't
it?
3 years ago.
At least 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I flew one of our planes down to Manny, Louisiana. And, of course, that Tuesday, or that day, yeah, it was a Tuesday, I think, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I went down there early because it's, pretty good ways down there. So I flew down there, and one of the ladies wanted me to stay in her home and wanted me to, in fact, Cheryl and I both went, and we flew down there in one of our smaller twins, or engine airplanes, and we done a Bible study in the lady's home that asked me to call the lady in California. She wanted me to, when I was there, she said, I'll get a bunch of my friends together. I want you to come teach the word in my house. So she had a house full.
Right.
I had a house full of people. And, of course, all of those people got those miracles were all there,
mm-hmm.
every one of them. Now, that next day, we all got in that airplane early in the morning and started toward Odessa. Well, we have a very nice computer in this airplane that shows all the weather and everything all over the country. And so it's a big GPS system, really nice. And we took off and we got to Hillsborough. Of course, it was IFR. That means very bad weather. Mm-hmm. Couldn't see the ground, nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it was bad even in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. All the way back, we were flying into clouds. And so I looked at the computer, and I saw the weather around the Odessa area.
Here,
yes. And so I thought, I'm not sure I want to go on out there because it looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just landed at Hillsborough, and we stopped there, and I picked up the phone and called Ricky out here, and I said, Ricky, what's the weather like in Odessa? He said, it's awful. He said, it's raining, it's storming, the wind's blowing 60 miles an hour. So we sat there for about 2 hours and waited and called again, and it was still storming. And so I said, okay. So I just loaded them all back up. I thought, it's obvious the enemy did not want me here.
I guess that's the day it rained 5 inches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we were in Israel.
That's right. That's right. You were not here.
And everything.
Yeah. But it rained and the downtown was underwater. Mm-hmm. You know, Odessa was
right.
Underwater.
The devil did not want that on TV.
And that's mm-hmm. right. I mean, the enemy did not want us out here. So we loaded the people back up and took off and flew back to Manny, Louisiana, and unloaded all the people. And then we turned around and flew back to Dallas and that evening. So that was about 5 hours of flying for me that day, or six. It was a pretty busy day, mm-hmm. you know, not to have got it accomplished. But we tried. Mm-hmm. I can know now when Paul's saying, you know, I have wanted to come to you, but Satan has prevented mm-hmm. me from coming.
Mm-hmm.
I know the God of this world does all kinds of things to prevent us from doing things for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And I know he's a powerful beast, but yet he is defeated by our king.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really know that we can do great things mm-hmm. for him. But there was another lady down there.
But you are going to bring them
oh,
back.
Oh, yeah. We have them on the schedule for
mm-hmm. July the 6th.
July the 6th, we're going to try this again. Mm-hmm. Now, this time we're going to pray and make sure that it happens.
Amen.
And but we also found out all other miracles, too. There were other miracles, because I got to ride in the back with all the people. They told the Narma that had the Parkinson's and the lupus. She later brought her husband when he went back. This is before we were married. He went back to this same church, and she brought her husband, but they don't tell him what's wrong with him. He had prostate cancer that had gone to bone cancer, and he laid hands on him and prayed for him. He was instantly healed and has been healed for 4 years. And then another interesting thing, I know, Johnny that had the broken, crushed knees, but he also, we didn't know that he had steel rods in his legs, but they also did surgery on his foot, took the tendons, cut the tendons, and reversed them from what would be normally the way you would have your foot, because
oh, yeah.
his foot was hanging, and so they, to make it come back up, they cut these tendons and, you know, reversed it. So the Lord restored that too.
Yeah, he said the next morning. See, yeah. I didn't know this until yeah. we were talking to him when we were sitting down there at Hillsborough. Of course, Cheryl's in the back with him. See, I'm flying the airplane, and I'm not. In fact, Norma, she said, "I'll tell you all about mine on the way." I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "I'm going to be up front mm-hmm. flying IFR. I don't have time to talk to nobody but them controllers. So you don't have time to carry on a conversation
That's
when
right.
you're flying IFR." But when we were landed at Hillsborough, waiting for the weather. I did not know that Johnny had that surgery, and his feet, you know, wouldn't work. You know, I mean, he hadn't walked, couldn't walk, feet wouldn't work. And he said that next morning, after he walked, he got up the next morning and was out of bed. And he said, "I looked down at my feet, and I thought, wow." And he said, "I tried to bend my feet up, and for the first time in almost 2 years, his feet would work right, and his toes, he could curl his toes, and he could never do that before."
Wow.
I mean, we serve an awesome Jesus.
Why would God just do something halfway anyhow?
Yeah.
That's right. And you found out about that other miracle about the young man in the wheelchair the same day.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even they asked me about that. Now, this is a sad place to be.
No, it's not. You know, a great place to be.
I'm saying this. You know, a few years, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you'd asked me, "Have you ever seen a miracle from God?" I'd have said no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never saw one. So if I saw one significant miracle, I mean, I'd never forget it. You know, that would be something you just don't forget. But that night when the gift of the Holy Spirit of miracles had come upon me in that little church, they asked me, after I laid hands on the Norma and she got healed of Parkinson's loop, and then I went over to Johnny and prayed for him, and God healed him.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Do you remember that young man that his little wife brought him in a wheelchair? You went to him next." I said, "I don't even remember that." They said, "Yeah, they brought him in. His legs were straight out, you know, and brought him in a wheelchair. And I went over and touched him in the name of Jesus. He jumped out of the wheelchair and ran out the front door and they run 4 blocks before they caught him."
Really?
Yeah, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah.
That's hard to forget.
Yeah. I thought, well, I prayed for him. It's a little church, too. It wasn't but about maybe 75 maximum mm-hmm. people there. But, you know, only thing I can say is when I touched her in the name of Jesus and the King healed her, and then I went over and prayed that prayer of faith for Johnny, mm-hmm. and I got to see this guy. You know, I'm still a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see what the Holy Ghost is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's running around and running out the back door screaming, "God is awesome." I mean, I just kind of lost it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm just in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's like living in a dream world.
Yes.
And then when I guess that guy was right there, and I thought, well, okay. And I just went over and said, in the name of Jesus. And he jumped out of the wheelchair and started running around and said, they run out the front door. And some people ran after him. Said he ran up the street three or four blocks before they caught him and brought him back. I didn't even remember that.
You know, Thurman, I'm wondering how many people have we lost already? They're not going to watch this weird station. That's your loss right there.
Yeah, really.
That's your loss.
Well, if they really think that's weird, let me explain another one to you, that this lady wouldn't come out here with us from there. But this happened a year earlier. Now, I can understand a grandmama, you know, that grandpa has died, and I can understand why she wouldn't come with me. But so I won't call any names. I don't want to embarrass the lady. But this lady was in one of those meetings a year before. And this is the reason they brought Johnny over there, because they heard about this woman in a wheelchair that got up and walked the year before.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, I was down there preaching in this little church, and I think I was there about four nights, at least three nights, maybe Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And that's back when the ministry was really little. I mean, you know, I was almost a one-man deal, you know. I mean, I made the tapes, I mailed them, I did virtually everything. I didn't have nobody working with me at all, just by myself, just me. And so I went down there, and I was teaching the Word of God, and that finally Friday night, the last night, this lady had been there every service in a wheelchair. And I could tell she was a little older. You know, she wasn't old, but, you know, she was up in years a little bit. So when I went over to pray for her, I asked her, I said, "Ma'am, what is wrong with you, and how long have you been in this wheelchair?" And she said, "Well, I'm getting old, and I'm just weak, and I just don't have the strength anymore. So I've been in this wheelchair in and out about 4 years, but I've been confined to it completely the last 2 years. Said I just can't walk by myself anymore. But she said, it's just because I'm getting old and weak." I said, "Well, how old are you?" And she said, "Oh, I'm old. I'm 65.
65.
65. See, we think we're old when these things happen to us. We don't realize that's not the case. I told her, I said, "Ma'am, are you married?" Well, she said, "I was." And I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, my husband died about 4 or 5 years, about 5 years ago, my husband died." And I said, "Well, what kind of physical shape are you in at 60? Well, she said, "Well, I was perfect. I didn't have any weakness at all." And I said, "So you think in the last 5 years you've just gotten weak and you're in this wheelchair?" "Well, that's got to be the only thing." I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "You probably don't understand the principle that sin brings forth death." And I said, "Sin usually doesn't bring forth instant death. Usually sin allows demons to come into our body and they start whacking away at us, slowly but surely killing us. And when the sin is fully conceived and fully matured, then it brings forth death." So I said, "What kind of sin have you gotten involved in since your husband died?" She said, "Well, I never thought about that." I said, "Well, if you were perfectly normal until you were 60, and now then all of a sudden you're 65, in the last 2 years you've been committed to a wheelchair." I said, "Have you been going with another man?" "Well," she said, "there, I have befriended a man." And I said, "Do you go with him?" She said, "Well, really, I don't go out with him." And I said, "Well, how did you meet this man?" And she said, "Well, he's a meter reader, and he comes by my house once a month to read the meter." I said, "Well, okay." I said, "So you were lonesome and you got to talking to him?" And she said, "Well, yeah." I said, "I'm a friendly person." And so he would come by and I'd speak to him and talk to him. And then he got to where he'd stop a few minutes and we'd talk a few minutes. And I said, "And you got friendlier and friendlier with him, didn't you?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "So how long after you went to bed with him the first time did you begin to get weak?" And it clicked. She said, "How did you know I did that?" I said, "I just know you did that. By the Spirit, I just know you committed fornication." I said, "That's sin for a child of God." and you profess to be a Christian woman. And I said, that sin will kill you. It will kill you in many ways. I said, it could have brought venereal disease on you. I said, it can bring weakening of your body. And this is what happened to you. The particular spirit that attacked you when you opened that sin door to him is whacking away at your body slowly, making you weak. And I said, who knows, in another year or two, he might kill you. I said, so how often did you and this man get together? Well, she said, about once a month when he would come by. You know, we would stop, we'd go in and have tea or something, and we'd wind up in bed together. And, you know, she was a lonesome woman. She wanted some physical attention. And she never dreamed it would do to her what it did.
Oh, boy.
But after 2 years of that, she got so weak she had to be in a wheelchair. And she'd been in a wheelchair completely for 2 years. I told her, I said, the God you and I serve is the most awesome, merciful God I ever can dream of. I said, now, if you was my daughter and you did that to me, I'd just kill you. But I said, I'm not God. He is. I said, he's merciful and he'll forgive you, because in his word, he promised that if you confess your sin, he will forgive you because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, would you confess that sin to him right now? And she said, you know, I guess I really didn't think about this being such a bad sin. But she said, I know it is sin to do what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it's written in the word of God. And so I said, will you ask him to forgive you? She said, yes. And so she kind of looked up and she said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I did this. And I promise you, I will never do this again. I said, now, do you believe he will heal you? And she said, well, after what I've heard you preach the last few nights, you said he promised he would heal me. I said, that's right. So I said, thank him for healing you. And she said, Lord, thank you for healing me. And I reached up and took her hand. I said, now let me have your hand. And as soon as I got her hand, I just gave her a jerk and said, get out of that wheelchair. And that woman stepped right out of that wheelchair and walked perfect.
Glory.
And she's never been back in that wheelchair to this day. I called her and talked to her the other day, and she's still walking perfect.
Hallelujah.
4 years later. Mm-hmm. She's now 69 mm-hmm. and totally well.
Glory.
But she wouldn't come tell that testimony
mm-hmm.
for the simple reason. She said, I have family and yeah. grandchildren, and I just can't tell that story on
yeah.
television.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'll tell it, but I won't use your name.
Yeah.
But that's God.
That's
important
God.
That people know.
Yeah.
The bondage they can get their, yeah. themselves into.
So simple.
Tell them about the lady that heard you tell that story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I told that one time after Cheryl and I got together and when God brought us together, and I told that story somewhere, and she told me, she said, honey, you've got to tell that story in every church we go to. She said, because there's people, women,
that's right.
in churches that they have not been taught. She said, I personally myself have been in church all of my life, and I didn't know these things.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you hardly ever find a church that preaches sin is what brings sickness and disease.
That's right.
She said, it's just not. She said, I never heard it. She said, I've been in church all my life until I met you. I never heard this principle
mm-hmm.
that sin is what brings sickness and disease. But, you know, under the law, if Jesus said under the law way back there in Exodus and Deuteronomy and all those places, he said, if you will be obedient and obey everything I tell you to do, everything, I will take all sickness and disease away from you, and you will have none.
That's exactly
well, that's a
what
promise from God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we come to the new covenant, which is better promises, built on a better foundation,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ and his blood, if we got so many people sick in the church, there's got to be a reason. Especially when Proverbs 26:2 says, no curse comes up on you undeserved.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you can't get a spanking without a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
that curse could be not just sickness, but it could be change of your events, lives, everything else. Isn't that correct?
Oh, it could be any number of things. Yeah, the enemy doesn't have to attack you with
mm-hmm.
sickness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can attack and torment you. He can
finances
attack your financial
up, yeah.
world. I mean, you know, he can burn your house down, you know. He can wreck your car. I mean, he can do all kinds of things. And no, he's not bound by one particular thing.
And that's what I wanted you to get to.
Yeah, if there's anything I've learned, when Paul told us in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but he named four. He named principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to believe with all my heart that under every one of those categories, there is multiple categories. I believe there's multiple demons that are beyond our wildest dream that we don't even know about. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think these guys are specialists. You know how you take your car somewhere today and you want a brake job, you go to a specialist. He may not know nothing else about the radiator, but he can fix your brakes.
He can fix that brake, yeah.
Or you may take it to a radiator shop and they can fix anything with the cooling system, but they couldn't fix a brake.
Yeah.
So they're specialists. And these demons, I've come to realize, are specialists. And where I learned that principle, I was reading the Catholic Bible one day in the Book of Wisdom, which is not in our King James Bible, but it goes into great detail there to explain that whatever sin you sin with, or whatever part of your body you sin with, that's the part of your body that's attacked. So if you're into telling lies, guess what will be attacked? Your throat or your vocal cords. If you're into pornography and looking at pornography, guess what will be attacked? Your eyes. I've seen men with cancer in their eyes, and when I got to them, they're watching pornography on the internet. And that has opened the door, and the demons of hell have attacked their eyes, and their eyes are being burned out with cancer.
You ready to jump right in the middle of something? You know, you're talking about when you go into... So many churches don't even preach sin anymore.
I know.
The more I sit in this church and talk to people, it seems like some of the most holy people, men in the pulpit that you ever met, where'd they go wrong?
Well, the scripture has the answer. Paul told us in the book of Timothy that in the last days, the Spirit expressly says that there will come those that just teaches what the people want to hear and not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
itching ears.
Itching ears, that's right. So, I mean, I've had several people, in fact, my associate pastor of my church, he tells me, Thurman, you won't ever have to worry about having a big church. Because he said, when they come and hear you and you teach the truth and what it says, he said, a lot of them don't want to hear it, so they don't never come back.
Mm-hmm. That's why primetime will never be the world's biggest either.
Well, but I will say one thing. When they come to me and they do repent of their sins and they get healed, they do tell their friends about me.
Amen.
And their friends come over there. I may only get a little shot with them. In fact, I had a man the other day. I hadn't seen him in a year. And he came up and I said, oh, brother, I haven't seen you in a while. He said, no, we live about 100 miles from here. But he says, a year ago, I had a physical problem. And he said, I came over here and went to your healing school. I went to a few of your services, built my faith up. You prayed for me and the Lord healed me. He said, it changed my life forever. We said, we live about 100 miles away. It's kind of hard to get over here every Sunday or even one day a month, you know, to come to a healing school. But he said, we have a need. Now my wife is sick and I brought her over here to one of your healing schools because we need her healed. When they need to be healed,
they show up.
Mm-hmm. And if there's anything I've learned, Al, that brings the body of Christ together... Now, I don't care if it's Church of Christ, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, whoever it is, Catholic. I've had every denomination in the world come to me, and one thing I never talk about, what is your denomination? I just want to know, do you know the King?
Amen.
Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? I never talk about denomination. But I've had denomination. In fact, I had a group of Church of Christ, a doctor, medical doctor, and 8 or 10 of the people that go to their church in a little city about a 4-hour drive from Dallas. And a few years ago, they got to listening to me on the radio. And one of them called me and said, I understand you have a healing school. And said, we're Church of Christ. Could we come to it? I said, of course. You know, I don't care what you are. If you're, you know, warm, you know, you can come to my healing school. You know, even if you're cool, I said, you know, we might raise you from the dead. Who knows? I said, you know, but I said, yes, of course, come. And so he said, I've got about 8 or 10 people I want to bring with me. And I said, fine. Well, this guy that came with his team, well, he was a medical doctor. And he came up and they listened to me teach about 4 hours. And then after I prayed for people for 2 or 3 hours, they stayed till about 10 or 11 o'clock that night and just asked me questions. They said, we've never heard this kind of teaching. And they said, but you know, you back up everything you say with, it is written. And we opened our Bibles along with you, and what you said and what our Bible said agreed.
Amen.
And so said, it's kind of difficult to fight against what God says. So he said, we never heard this kind of teaching. But anyway, this doctor, he said, my faith is higher right now than it's ever been. So they went back home that Saturday night. Well, Sunday morning, little did I know that the youth leader and his wife in that church had been trying for years to have a baby. And that doctor had examined both of them and, you know, couldn't find anything wrong with them. But for some reason, they could not get pregnant. So that Sunday morning, as he walked into church, his youth leader walked in with his wife and he said, hey, you two, come over here. He said, are y'all still trying to have a baby? And they said, yes, we'd love to have a baby. But, you know, as you know, we haven't had any luck. He said, I've got more faith right now than I've ever had in my life. I just went to Dallas yesterday to a healing school. And he said, I've learned the promises of God and they're in my Bible. He turned over to one of them powerful scriptures and he said, look at this. And they looked at it and he said, doesn't that make you an awesome promise, kids? And they said, wow, it really is an awesome promise. He said, I'm going to pray that prayer of faith for both of y'all.
Glory to God.
And he said, I'm going to guarantee you. See, he had heard me say, if you do what God says, I guarantee you. He said, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you two, and you two are going to go home, do what you're supposed to do to get pregnant. He said, I guarantee you're going to get pregnant in the name of Jesus. 30 days later, this woman called him one afternoon and said, doctor, I've done one of those home tests, and I think I'm pregnant. And he said, you don't do it in the evening. You do it in the morning early. That's when they really work. Of course, I don't know nothing about this. I'm just listening to him tell me. He said, the next morning at 6 o'clock, my phone rang. And it was her. It's a little town, you know, of just 3,000 or 4,000 people, so they're really friendly people. She called him. She said, I've done it again, and it's positive again. He said, okay, come in. I'll check you. So he said, they did. Her and her husband came in, and she said, I checked her and said, she conceived that Sunday night. That Sunday night after he prayed that prayer that morning, and they had been trying for years to get pregnant, and 9 months later, they had a beautiful baby boy. And just happy as they could be.
Amen.
Now, see, the promises worked even for the Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, they work for the Baptists. You know, they work for the Methodists. Mm-hmm. They work for the Catholics. They work for those that believe. That's
even
what I'm trying to say.
Even for charismatic Pentecostals.
They even work for charismatic Pentecostals. Yes, they do. And so God's promises work for anybody that believes them after you get rid of sin. After you get rid of sin. And, of course, we've already made several of these testimonies. We brought, I don't even know how many people we brought. We had 8 testimonies the first time, didn't we, honey? And then yesterday we had five more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 13. And then when we bring the other 4, you know, and we're going to put all those, as many as we can, on a DVD when we get them all together. And we can put up to 12. I believe it's 8 hours. We can put up to 8 hours on one DVD. So I'm going to put as many of those as I can and call it the Miracle DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And let people, you know, we'll send it out just like we do everything else. Mm-hmm. In other words, everything in our ministry that people call our ministry, order off the website, whatever, we send everything from our ministry out free and postpaid.
Well, the programs you did like yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you do a half hour for each one of
them?
Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm. Yep, I did a half hour for each
person. So the 7 programs before is another 7 hours.
We're going to have programs running out our ears. Glory to God.
That's right. These are, in fact, the very first program I did, this couple, this is the most awesome testimony you can imagine, because in the church, so many people hold grudges against people, you know, and they don't understand the consequences of holding an unforgiveness.
Right.
Well, the very first testimony we did, we actually did three 30-minute shows with this same couple, because the testimony is so, so powerful, and it's so ongoing. In fact, here a while back, James Robertson had them on their show, on his show, and they got to tell about 5 minutes of this testimony. James had them
out of 90 minutes.
Yeah. What happened was, Robert Morris's wife, the senior pastor of Gateway Church, that's where they go to church, and they have for years. Robert's a great teacher of the Word of God. And they went there, and all three of their children were sick. One of the oldest boy, which was almost 9, was about to be an invalid. I mean, he had had surgery on one leg, and the other leg was beyond surgery. And the doctors at the Dallas Medical Center said the boy will be an invalid, you know, within probably another 6 months to a year. And the other two younger ones had
asthma and allergies.
Yeah, asthma and allergies. And, you know, they just couldn't keep them healed. They were sick all the time. Mm-hmm. And so this woman that went to Robert's church, she heard about my ministry. And so she came over there. Now, they got healing rooms at the Gateway Church. Mm-hmm. But they don't know these principles. Now, I've had the privilege of teaching Robert's church since then, and I've been able to teach just staff. I didn't teach anybody but staff and healing room people these principles. Had about 110 or 20 people there that day. And then I got to speak at his church one time to about 1,500 people.
Mm.
But after they saw the testimony of what Terry and Frank had, they invited Robert's wife wrote a book, and in one chapter of the book, she dedicated one whole chapter to this testimony. And so they advertised the book on James Robertson's show. And, of course, they had them there, and they got to tell about 5 minutes, maybe 4 or 5 minutes of this powerful testimony. And I watched it, and when I saw it, I called them. I said, you know, you didn't get to do justice to your testimony. She said, I know. We had so little time. I said, one day I'm going to take you all out to GLC with me.
And thank God for GLC.
Amen. Thank the Lord. We're not limited by what we can say.
That's right.
Nothing. We tell it just like it is. And I said, I want you two to be prepared to tell your testimony in detail. And so when I called them the other day and said, can you all go with me? They said, yes, we'll take off from work. We'll do anything to tell what God did for us. Because when they came to me, this woman walked into my church, and after church, she came for prayer. She said, I understand you have a healing ministry. I said, yes, ma'am. Or she said, I have a need. I said, what is it? And she said, well, I have a 9-year-old son that is in very bad shape and probably going to be an invalid within a year or less. And then I've got 2 young boys that's younger that had asthma and allergies and just can't get them here. We're in the doctor's office all the time. I said, well, do you and your husband know Jesus? She said, oh, my husband works on staff at a church. I said, okay, that's good. But I said, how is your love walk between you and your husband if y'all are both Christians? I said, do you love your husband? Well, she said, I did when I married him. Uh-uh. And I said, well, how about now? She said, no, I'm not very fond of him right now. I said, oh, you're not. I said, well, do you submit to him? Do you obey him? She said, no. I said, that's your problem, woman. I said, you're the problem. That's why your kids are sick. She said, you are crazy. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not crazy. So she storms out the door saying, you're a nut.
You said
crazy.
That, huh?
Yeah. I said, ma'am, ask God. He'll tell you the truth. So on the way home, she's hot, raging, and she's spewing out, God, this preacher you got over there, he's an idiot. You know, he says I have to submit to my husband. And praise God for a God that talks. He spoke to her that day.
He did.
He did. He spoke to her and said, Terry, did I not tell you to submit to me? Well, she says, yes, Lord. And I don't have a problem submitting to you. And he said, well, what does the word submit mean?
Uh-oh.
And she said, well, Lord, I guess it means obey you. He said, that's exactly what it means. Did I not tell you in my word to submit to your husband? She said, God, it'll be over his dead body before I ever obey him. Now, see, I didn't know.
Over his dead body?
Over his dead body.
Not hers.
Yeah, that's right. She said, it'll be over his dead body before I ever obey him. Mm-hmm. And what the Lord told her really put her to the test. He said, no, Terry, it'll be over your children's dead bodies.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That got a mother's attention.
Mm-hmm.
She came back and said, God spoke to me and told me you wasn't crazy.
How soon did she come back?
Right, almost immediately.
Turned around,
yeah, it wasn't
back.
Long.
Oh,
yeah, it wasn't long at all. So she came back and told me, said, God told me you were right. What you were teaching is the truth, and I need to listen to you. And so I sat down with her. I told her, I said, ma'am, first of all, if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, it will open a door to a demon. She said, I have read the Bible, and I don't see that nowhere in the Bible. And she said, I go to a Bible-teaching church, and my pastor is a great pastor, and he's never preached on anything like this. And I said, well, who is your pastor? And she told me, and I said, well, I know him. He's a great pastor. But I said, maybe he don't have this revelation. I said, there's a lot of areas in this book I don't have revelation on. But I said, in the area of sickness and disease, God has called me to do this. So he's given me these revelations. I said, I'll tell you where it's at, and I'll show it to you. And I took her to Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And I explained that in detail to her. And a lot of people miss that when the Lord says that this servant, which owed 10,000 talents, he said, because you can't pay, I'm going to sell you and your wife and your children and your lands and your houses and all that you own to pay your debt. Now, see, people read that and they read over that and they don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
That not only because of this man's sin was he going to have to pay, but his wife was going to have to pay, and his children were going to have to pay, and his assets were going to have to pay. In other words, everything was going to become legal property of the enemy. Because a little further down in there, the Lord clearly said, now, the Lord, he says, the master or the Lord of that man was very angry when he heard he wouldn't forgive a brother that owed him a little debt.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because you didn't forgive him, neither am I going to forgive you, and I'm going to send a tormenting spirit to torture you. Now, who do you think that is? That's the devil.
Amen.
That's demons. Now, who's going to send him? God's going to send him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to verse 35, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, this is the way my heavenly Father will do each one of you if you don't forgive your brothers from your heart. Now, this is a portion of Scripture that very few Christians believe, that God is the one that sends the demons to torment us when we sin. But right there it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
It says he does. And so he had sent this demon to Terry's family to torment her children because of her unforgiveness. Now then, she thought I was crazy. But after God spoke to her, and thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for
Amen.
Speaking.
Yes,
thank you for being a God that talks. Whenever she came back to me and asked me what she had to do, I told her, first of all, she had to forgive her husband. And she says, but you know, he's not the spiritual leader of my home. I said, Terry, it makes no difference if you think he's the spiritual leader of your home or not.
Amen.
He is, because God said he was.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's
hard on a woman,
oh,
especially a woman that don't have a man that's a spiritual authority, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, you were made for him, and you were made to obey him. And she asked me a question, well, what if he were to get, I said, he's never done anything like this, but what if he were to get mean with me and beat up on me? Then what would I have to do? I said, call the cops and lock him up. But when he gets out of jail, be there for him. You know, I said, you're married to him, and God don't give you any grounds other than adultery, you know, to divorce him. Mm-hmm. But I said, then he even tells you you're supposed to forgive. So I said, that's hard for us to do. But I said, you know, go ask the Lord to forgive you. And then after you ask him to forgive you, God will forgive you. I said, then you go and you ask your husband to forgive you, and you tell him you will submit to him and do anything he asks you to do. And so she did. She asked the Lord to forgive her. She went home that night, walked into the bedroom. Her husband was already in bed. And she said, we have to talk. And, of course, her husband immediately thought, okay, she's fixing to hit me for a divorce, and I'm ready. I've had all this nonsense, 9 years I can put up with. I am sick and tired of this. I didn't know until the testimony the other day, she had even prayed and asked God to kill him in a car wreck because so she could get double indemnity so she could pay off their house.
Oh, boy.
See, that's where she was.
Mm-hmm. And she,
that's how much she
one
did.
Of hundreds of thousands.
That's why I'm telling this story. Mm-hmm. I know she's one of many. Mm-hmm. You know, I know this has affected many women. Mm-hmm. And it's all because they didn't do what God told them to do.
Yeah.
So when she went home and told him, we got to talk, and he thought what she was going to do, and then she did something he didn't expect. She said, Frank, I want you to know I forgive you. I love you. I'll be your wife. I will submit to you. I'll obey you. And anything you ask me to do, I will be the wife that God called me to do, be for you. He fell out of the bed on his face crying. I mean, he never expected this. And
imagine.
So it reconciled that marriage mm-hmm. that day. Mm-hmm. At that instant, that couple fell madly back in love with each other.
I wonder why.
And it's amazing, you know. Yeah. It restored and rekindled their marriage. And then the two children, they brought all of them over to me, and I prayed for all of them. The two boys with the asthma and allergies were virtually instantly healed. Mm-hmm. And they've never been sick since that day. That's been years ago.
Yeah.
But the boy that could hardly walk and had the surgery, crippling, limping around, they took him in 6 months back to the medical center, Children's Medical Center in Dallas, to be checked. On the way to the hospital, the Lord spoke to Terry again and said, Terry, today you and your husband will be put to the test. She didn't know what that meant. She looked over at Frank and said, Frank, the Lord just told me today you and I will be put to the test. She said, I don't have a clue what he means. But he said, we're going to be tested, so we need to be watching to see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, they get to the hospital, and the leg that they had done the surgery on, which was going the wrong direction, getting worse, and the one they hadn't done the surgery on was beyond surgery the last time they were there. And it was impossible to do any surgery. And so the doctor just said, in a few months, 6 months to a year, he's going to be an invalid. He's going to be in a wheelchair. There ain't nothing we can do. Well, when they get to the doctors and they checked his legs, they go in and bring the x-rays out and show them. They said, look, we don't understand. These legs, instead of getting worse, the leg that was beyond surgery is now back to a point where we could do the surgery. And the other leg is going back and getting well. And the little boy said, Mama, Daddy, let them do surgery on my other leg so I'll be able to walk. And Frank and Terry thought, this was a test. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. We're going to trust God. See, before they had no idea their sin mm-hmm. was what was opening the door to a demon to kill the boy's legs.
Mm-hmm.
When they took away the legal right, the demons had to leave. When we prayed for them and commanded the spirits to leave, they left because they had no legal right.
Yes.
The mother and father got back into a love walk. So Satan has no claim. And they waited, and they would not let the doctors do any surgery. Well, today, the boy at that time was 9. Today, the boy is 15. and he's a long way from an invalid. He runs and plays football. Now, then, one other thing about this couple, in the 9 years they were married, that they had all the unforgiveness, 8 years of that nine, she was in unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. From the time she was in unforgiveness till she learned the answer, not only did they have three sons, but she miscarried three times. She killed three children because of her unforgiveness.
Wow.
Now, see, people have miscarriages, don't understand these principles.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord clearly tells us in the Old Testament, if we do everything He says, no one will be barren and there would be no miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
See, we don't believe this book, Al.
Mm-hmm.
If you read this book, I've got a new translation that I read that I love to read. It's called the New Living Translation. I'm going to guarantee any human being alive today that's a Christian, if you'll get this book and spend 2 hours a day, 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, prayerfully reading this book for 1 year, I will guarantee you your theology will be challenged beyond mm-hmm. your wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. Only I spent 10 years studying this book like that before God began to reveal these truths to me the way He has now. But I was reading the King James and others, and they're harder to understand.
You don't put in the word here, and
so
I talk.
So easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what you will learn when you read this book. It'll change a lot of things you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see it, you know, you got to realize that God wrote this book for you and me to walk holy and without sin.
Yes.
And when I learned these principles and I started making my first little series of tapes about what I'd learned, and I started giving them away. I didn't know what God was going to do. I didn't know why He gave me this revelation. I was an engineer by trade. You know, I mean, I used to be an airline pilot, and I was an engineer after I got laid off from the airlines years ago. I was flying the big jets all over the world, and then I got laid off from that, and then I went back into the engineering world, built buildings, designed equipment, and all kinds of stuff. And then I started really studying the Word of God. And as I studied this book, God began to reveal things to me. And I didn't have any idea that He was a healer. But I began to understand He had a lot of promises. And I used Him in the workforce. I used Him to pray over jobs. And God revealed Himself to me, spoke to me. Many times He spoke to me and gave me information about how to build a building or design a piece of equipment. It's amazing how many times He gave me visions, you know, that I designed equipment, and people want to know, how did you do this? I said, well, it's real simple. Jesus showed me how.
Tell me, when you were an engineer, when you were under that airplane, mm-hmm. God told you to get out from under it?
Okay, I wasn't under an airplane.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I was out of the airline business, and I was building a facility.
Okay.
And I had about 20,000 pounds of stuff, steel and stuff, stacked up out here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had some stuff in under that I needed to get and work on. So I crawled in under there, and I'm under there working, doing some things. Hadn't been under there long. Only a few minutes, and that morning when I got off the airplane, I was going to Houston that morning for this facility I was working on, and our corporate headquarters were in Houston at the airport. And I thought, as soon as I get off the airplane, get the car, I'm going to drive by the corporate headquarters and go in and do my paperwork, because I was a regional engineer. I covered about almost a half of the United States. I built buildings everywhere, and so I spent a lot of money. And the controller, regional controller, he was there. I thought, well, I'll go in and bring him up to date where I am on certain projects. Well, I got to thinking about this project in Houston, and I drove right by the corporate headquarters. I went out there, and I'm about 9 o'clock by this time now. I'm in under, crawled in under this steel. I'm working on it, doing some stuff, and all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And this was the second time I'd heard His audible voice. He said, son, you forgot to do your paperwork this morning. I said, Lord, that's right, I did. I said, I was going to do that as I come by there, and I just got to thinking about this project, and I forgot it. But I said, Lord, I just like 15 minutes under here. Just as soon as I finish, I'll run right back over there and do my paperwork. He said, no, son, I want you to go do it right now. I said, okay. So it's extremely important if the king tells you to do something, you obey.
Amen.
So I crawled out from under there and stood up and took the second step, and the supporting structure holding that 20,000 pounds of steel exploded. And that 20,000 pounds of steel was laying flat on the ground where I was 5 seconds before.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
I looked up and after, I mean, of course, you know, as it's falling, I'm running, stumbling, you know, because you know how you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just your reflexes.
Get away from it.
And as I got out there a little ways and regained my composure, I'm kind of shaking and trembling myself, you know, and I said, Lord, thank you. You saved my life. I said, Lord, that scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19 just taken on a whole new meaning. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price.
Amen.
I don't belong to me. I belong to you. I don't have a clue what you have for me in the future, but you know. And so I told him, I said, I'll go anywhere and do anything. Now then, after this last trip to Europe.
I want to hear about this trip to Europe. Well, how did that come about?
Well, of course, the way these things happen is, as you know, we happen to be on a television network called GLC that airs all over the world. So there's people that see these things, and they contact us. And they contact us and, you know, want to know about different things. And so we respond, like right now, we've got people contacting us from India. They say they've been watching us on GLC. And they've listened to our healing ministry, and they would love for me to come over there and teach. How many pastors was it? 800 or 1,100?
1,100
pastors.
Glory to God.
Yeah, and they have 800 churches. And they was wanting me to come over there and teach what I've learned. And then we've had them from the Philippines.
You're probably going to work that in their schedule.
Yeah, we've had them from the Philippines call us, and we had them from Canada, you know, contact us. And, of course, we went to Canada, you know, just within the last few months, and that was interesting. When we flew in there and we get off the airplane, well, we have to clear customs. Well, when I walked up to the customs counter, I mean, you know, I'm in the habit of telling the truth. And because that's,
yes.
God tells me that's one of the armament that I have when I gird my loins about with truth.
Truth. Mm-hmm.
That is a spiritual shield that I put around me that keeps the devil from attacking me. Mm-hmm. And so if I tell a lie, then I have a crack in that armor.
Amen.
And so I walked in and the lady says, what did you come to Canada for? I said, to preach the gospel. By the way, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she says, no. I said, how would you like to know the King? She says, you go down that red line right there and talk to those people in that booth down there. I said, oh, okay. And we start to walk over. Cheryl said, you messed up. I said, what do you mean I messed up? She said, I'm not too sure that these people up here want Christians here.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman didn't know Jesus. So we get over to the next counter and the lady says, what can I do for you and what did you come to Canada for? I said, I came to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Again.
Do you know Jesus?
Glory to God.
And she says, no. And I thought, wow, I'm batting 1,000. You know, nobody knows Jesus. And so then Cheryl moves in and starts telling her some little things, and whatever she said got us through.
Mm-hmm. What did you tell her?
Well, I told them the truth. They, you know, they want to know where you're going, who you're staying with, you know. So that's what I told them, what church it was, and you know, the name of the people, and what town it was, and how long you're going to be there. But they don't want your.
They really don't. I heard they don't want.
They really don't want you there.
No.
You know, but we know who that is.
That's the devil.
Now, the people, when you tell them about Jesus, in fact, we went to a hotel, and they had rented a large room there, mm-hmm. and then they filled it up. I mean, they brought some people in to sing, and those people were singing, and people that were staying in the hotel heard this, and we put out there, you know, Anybody invited. Everybody's invited to this meeting. So I didn't know who was coming in or going, whatever. But there was another engineer there that was up there in the oil field. And he was staying at that hotel with his family. And he came by the door and heard the singing and everything. And he thought, well, free meeting. Everybody's invited. I'll go and see what this guy's talking about. And he came in. He sent me an email. He said, you changed my life forever.
Glory
he said, I'll never be the same. No. Divine appointment mm-hmm. by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had a great meeting up there with those people, met a lot of wonderful people. And, of course, now then they've invited us back already. We're going back to, what's the name of that place in Canada?
Edmonton.
Edmonton.
Alberta.
We're going back to Edmonton.
What are you
going
to tell me you're going to do?
Well, I'm going to tell them the truth.
He's going to let his wife talk.
I'm going to let my wife tell them. There you go. I'm going to let her tell them. But, you know,
thank God for wives.
Another gentleman, a pastor of another little church right close to Regina.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah. It's several hours. I think he says it's 10-hour drive, but it's only an hour and a half or so flight across there, or two, whatever it is. And he told me, he said, if there's any way you can come to my church while you're in Canada, I'd love for you to come to my church and teach what you teach also. But we're already going to be gone 13 days, and there was no way I could get a flight. We tried, but there was no way we could do that. So, you know, we're having these people now increase in numbers inviting us back to Canada. And so, you know.
But thank God this television isn't stopped by the Canadian
that's
government.
Right. That's right. And so it's there. And so, of course, right here, Al, before we go, I got to tell you something. I know this girl heard us on GLC.
She had
but this girl.
Truth or Consequences,
yeah,
New
she
Mexico.
She lives in Truth or Consequences,
we think
New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me on January the 1st of this year, and she said, out of sheer desperation, she said, I've called you. I said, well, what's wrong with you? She said, I'm 55 years old, and I have had scoliosis all of my life.
Scoliosis, uh-huh.
See, she said, it didn't bother me a whole lot till I got about 6, but about 6 years old, my spine started twisting. And she said, I have lived in a twisted and deformed body all these years. Mm-hmm. And she said, the last 20 years, I've almost been confined to home. I'm in such pain, I just can't go out. And basically, the last year, it's just been an invalid.
And 2 years, you know, she said she was bedridden.
The last two years, she said she was bedridden. Bedridden mm-hmm. the last 2 years mm-hmm. and confined to home for the last 20. And she And I know she had to hear us. I don't think I asked her, but I know she had to hear about us.
Yeah, we're on TLC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she called and she said, out of sheer desperation, I've been listening to your teaching, and I've got to have you pray for me. And so I spent some time with her on January the 1st and prayed the prayer of faith for her. And I said, now, ma'am, I guarantee that you're delivered and healed. If you've repented of every sin, which you say you have, and I've commanded those spirits to leave you, they have to leave because Jesus said they did.
Yes.
I said, he's a deliverer, but he expects me to speak it in faith. So I said, I guarantee you in the name of Jesus, you are well. I said, just stay with him in the word. I said, he's the healer, not me. Jesus is the healer. I said, you get in his word and you continue to study his word every day and worship him and praise him. And I said, you will get well. She wrote me a long, beautiful letter only about 2 weeks ago. She said, I had to write you and tell you that I never knew what it was like in my entire 55 years to be able to go out and dig flowers and plant flowers. But she said, today, 5 months after your prayer in January the 1st, I am living in a pain-free body for the first time in my life.
Glory to God.
One of these days, I'm probably going to fly out there and get her and bring her down here and give her testimony, too.
Yeah.
You know, these things are demons that's twisted this woman's spine.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Luke 13:11. Jesus clearly told you in Luke 13:11 the woman which had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was all twisted over and bowed over and in could no wise straighten herself up, he exercised his keys to the kingdom, and said, which is binding and loosing. And he told us that in Matthew 16 and in Matthew 18. He said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.
Yes.
And the spirit of infirmity left that woman, and she was immediately straightened up, and she was healed. Now, Jesus did that, and then Jesus turned to us and said in John 14:12, truly, I say to you, to anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name.
Yes.
We obviously don't believe his word.
That's right.
So it's unbelief that keeps us as the body of Christ bound. Now, it's sin that keeps us bound too. I've realized in this book, as I've read and studied this book says once you get saved, he has made peace with you, he has reconciled you to himself, and you've been made just as if you had never sinned right there.
Amen.
But we don't stay there. He tells us to go now and sin no more, to walk holy before him. And that's not written just in one or two places in this book.
Right.
It's written over and over and over. Be holy, for I am holy. Sin not. Just like 1 John 5:18, he says, my children, do not practice sinning. The King James says, my children, do not sin, period. Now, that's a hard one. But the NLT says, the children of God do not practice sinning. That doesn't mean you can't make a mistake once in a while and still be a child of God. But when you make a mistake, you need to repent immediately and get your garment washed clean again.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep it free and spotless. Because when you do that, he says, the evil one, which is Satan and his host of demons, cannot touch you. Which means if you don't keep yourself clean and pure, Satan can touch you. And his flaming darts will hit you. Just like telling a lie. You got your loins girded about with truth. You're protected. That's a spiritual piece of armor. But there's a spiritual arrow out there that's being shot at you. And if you don't have that spiritual armor on, that spiritual arrow will penetrate your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make you sick. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't do. And so we don't realize the importance. Just like he said, and wear the gospel shoes of peace. If you're walking in the peace of God, then you're not opening no doors to the devil as far as that's concerned. But you got to have all that armament on. And some people say, I take my armament off overnight and I put it on every morning. No, you don't understand this book at all. You don't take off spiritual armor. You wear it 24/7. You go to bed with it. You get up with it. You know, and the only way you don't get up with it is if somebody calls on the phone and says, we need you at work. And you say, oh, my goodness, this is my day off. I don't feel too good. I'm sick today. You just lied.
And you get sick.
And you get sick.
That's right.
I had a man that used to work for me, did that to me. One day I called him and said, hey, Bob, I sure do. I have to have you today. I hate to call you. I know it's your day off. But another guy didn't show up, and I got to have you. He said, Thurman, I'm sick. I can't come in today. He lied.
Mm-hmm.
5 days later, when he finally did come in, he called the third day and told me, I'm sick. I'm really bad sick. He called me finally got to work 5 days later. He said, Thurman, I got to confess, I lied to you that morning. I wasn't sick. But he said, before that day was over, I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was deathly sick the second day. And he said, it took me till today, and I'm just barely able to come to work today. He said, I won't never do that to you again, never. See,
wow.
He lied, and he opened a door to a demon to come in and make him sick.
Herman, can you give me the W-2? You said something a while ago, and I believe that you got an answer for what I'm searching for, okay? Have you got W-2 that you can find, guys? You remember you was talking about Germany?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we went over there, just got back.
Mm-hmm.
It was over there for nearly 2 weeks.
Put it on. I want to show you something. See, you recognize as a pilot where we're looking at right there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Germany sits right in the very middle of that pattern.
Yeah.
now. Now that we talked, that's the new satellite we went on last month.
Okay.
Okay.
Praise God.
Now here comes my, you see, it covers all the way up into Russia and down into Saudi country and the Iran, the whole bit. Now here comes my question. Now we're covering down there in the Arab nations. But I believe the next battle that God threw us into because of this satellite is in Europe. Now, you've just come from there. Tell me, is this the case where they meet something like this in Europe?
I'll tell you that from, it doesn't make it where you go in Europe. I mean, Europe is rapidly falling away from the gospel.
It's going to...
I mean, it's just going down. I mean,
it's going to be Islamic if we don't change it.
Well, London, not only London, but England. I mean, I know the Muslim world is trying their best to take over. And then they're quite vocal about it.
You know what came out yesterday, what the second most popular name is among boys being born in England is today?
What?
Mohammed.
Mohammed. I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't
doubt
that.
It's Edwards
all.
And all the rest. I just came out yesterday.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to take over the world.
Yes.
The Muslims are trying to take over the world. But every time a Muslim comes to know Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, and you've had several of those guys on your shows here, and they've been aired all over the world. But when a man comes to know Jesus, I mean, it changes him forever. I mean, he now knows, and Jesus is doing some awesome things within the Muslim world.
Amen.
I mean, he's touching them. He's appearing to people. You know, he's doing awesome things to people. And, of course, once a Muslim sees Jesus and they get healed or something miraculous happens, they can't never go back to be a terrorist because the love of God has just come upon them.
And it's two opposite fields.
That's right. And in Germany, where we went in Germany,
Where'd you go?
Well, we went into Frankfurt, and then we drove up to
Altenstein,
and we preached there.
Is that up on the Rhine River?
It's up on the Black Forest.
Okay.
It's up in the Black Forest. And then after preaching there for several days, we went and we ministered to people all over the place and went to different families and everything else in between preaching services. And then we were driven up to Stuttgart. And we caught an airplane there and flew to Berlin. And Berlin, we spoke in a big church, almost one of the biggest churches in Berlin. That church, I believe, was about 150,000 square feet.
My goodness.
It was a big monster. Mm. They had a 13 million euro debt. That's almost $20 million debt on that building.
It's a new building.
Brand new. Brand new, but beautiful thing.
That means Christianity is growing, or is it increasing?
They said only 2% were Christians, and the rest were Lutheran and Catholic.
Yeah, this pastor of this church, the man that invited us to Germany last year, he is in charge of a huge organization in Germany. And so he sent our teachings to several different people. And this pastor up there in Berlin, he got some of our teaching, and he listened to them. And he called back and asked that man, said, next time you have him over here, I want him to come speak in my church. He said, I believe in healing, but also believe in doctors. Well, I believe in doctors also, because if you don't have faith, you better have a good doctor. You know, now, if you got faith and really believe the word of God and get your sins repented of, most of the time you don't need a doctor.
Amen.
If you can trust Jesus, I mean, I've seen him do awesome things, as you know. I mean, Jesus has done things beyond my wildest dreams. But in a place as big as Berlin, I mean, that's huge. But everybody I talked to, the people I met in the hotel, none of them knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody I talked to in Berlin knew Jesus. You talk about a place that needs the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Germany needs the gospel.
Yes.
I mean, they need it everywhere. In fact, I'll tell you, last year, when we was invited over there, Cheryl got some boxes down, and she put a master of every one of our teachings to send over there so those people could duplicate them and give to their people so we wouldn't have to carry so much media when we went. We mailed it in advance, first-class mail. We took some when we went, but we didn't take as much as we wanted to. But we took enough for everybody to have a little bit. But when we got there, we asked them what happened to the masters we sent. They never got them.
Uh-oh.
So we went to the post office to check, and they were held there in customs. So we wanted to retrieve them. They said no, because you don't have a contract with Phillips to make CDs and send them to Germany. I said, but we do. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. You don't have proof. You didn't put it in the box. Okay. So I called back to the States, got a hold of the people we buy the CDs from. They sent a copy of the contract to us, faxed it to us, emailed it to us. We took it down and gave it to them. That wasn't good enough. We went to battle, even got an attorney to fight their attorney, and we still lost, and we never got that Christian media. And the only thing they didn't let it come through was because it was Christian media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never heard of this thing about the CDs before having to have a permit from Phillips.
Oh, yeah. 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 You have to have, in other words, Phillips was the people that originally made CDs, and everybody in the world that makes a CD has to have a contract with Phillips to make them.
All right.
It's a license
we got
agreement.
Here, yeah.
And if you don't do it, you're making them illegal. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, and there's a lot of people out there making them illegal. Mm-hmm. But that's beside the point. We knew this, and we made sure we bought them from a company. You know, we like to do everything legal. Mm-hmm. And so when we got over there, we even...
But the gospel they didn't want in there.
The gospel is what they didn't want.
When I sent the boxes and I looked on the United States Post Office to Germany, it says no religious material. Now, that's what it said last year. I don't know if it's still there. But when I sent them in March of a year ago, I knew what it said. But I thought, you know, I'm sending it to a ministry, and it was a big ministry. There are over 3,000 pastors.
Wow.
And this man used to be the minister of agriculture till the Lord spoke to him in his own language, and he wasn't even saved, and told him that he had to change, become a Christian, and start a ministry. And that's how all of this developed for this minister. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I looked into it before I mailed it, you know, and I thought, what's going to this ministry? And they're over all these pastors. No problem. But they destroyed them.
Yeah.
They destroyed them.
I was going to say, in 1967, I had an office in Wiesbaden and people over there. And I was a heathen in those days, and I never met a Christian.
Yeah. Well, you don't meet many Christians in Germany.
But so the revival isn't really hitting there.
Not yet. You know, it's in fact, that huge church up there in Berlin, although they built big, they really went way beyond what I would have done. But he said they had many prophets that came in and told them to build big because God was going to do something great. So they did. They built big. They have a 2,500-seat auditorium. And the big, I guess you would call it, the foyer behind the church where you come in on both sides would probably, if you were to put seats back there, it would probably seat another 1,500.
Oh,
it's huge.
It's huge.
I mean, it's huge, mm-hmm. You know. And so, but the main auditorium seats 2,500. And on a Sunday morning, the average attendance is about 900.
Well, that's probably why. See, the satellite system we went on is a small home dish, mm-hmm. like the DirecTV, where they buy their own dish, Breedair, mm-hmm. because they're not going to church.
Yeah, we see these dishes.
Yeah, we did. That was one of the things we noticed. As we started looking all
you
the apartments.
Saw those, yeah,
there's a lot of apartments, and we saw
we
a
heard
lot
there's 60
of
million of them in Europe.
A lot of dishes.
Well, we saw them lots of places, the little dish. You know, we got one ourselves at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we know what they look like. And they're all over the place over there. I mean, all over the place. Mm-hmm. If you said there's 60 million of them, then that's fantastic. But Germany needs it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, people don't know Jesus over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just don't know the King. I mean, a handful.
So they're open to the others.
Oh, yeah, to the things of the world. I mean, mm-hmm. what honey, did they told us in Germany, it was on 2 or 3%.
2% were Christians.
2% of the Germans are Christians.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's typical of all of Europe.
You know, I don't know, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, he got asked by a doctor that came to the meetings in Altenstein to come to France. He said, because they need you in France. They need to hear your message in France. And we had a really huge revelation in Berlin. There were a dozen women in one place, a dozen women with breast cancer. Breast cancer. And, you know, you see a few women with breast cancer, but a dozen women, that's a lot.
In one church.
In one church. And we know.
In our meeting.
In our meeting.
That wasn't near all the members.
Yeah, and there were only, say, 300 to 400 there, yeah. You know, each night. So on the three nights. Well, Germany, we knew last year because all the women don't love themselves because it was a shameless generation because of the war, the Hitler thing. And then there was fatherless generation because all the dads were killed or put in prison. Mm-hmm. And then they were raised up with no love. And so all the women don't love themselves. And a few of the men, I mean, we had one man that came up with us at the first meeting, and his wife had a back problem, and they brought her in. She laid on a cot the whole time for the 5 days of that meeting. She laid on the cot till the last day, and she stood that day. But her husband, when he came up with her, he said, you know, my dad told me my whole life I was a loser, and then, you know, I wasn't anything. And he said, now the devil's telling me I'm a loser and my prayers are not being answered when I lay hands on my wife, you know. And so, of course, he had him lay the hands on the wife so that he would restore his faith.
He wasn't a loser.
Oh, yeah, exactly, to restore his faith. And, of course, she received her healing. But back to the Berlin thing, we know that breast cancer is unforgiveness toward a female, mother, daughter, sister, close friend, whatever. But that's what we know. We see it a lot. And these women, at 10 of the 12, though, on these women, had unforgiveness against self.
Yeah.
Totally against self. It wasn't that they had unforgiveness against someone else. And I was just overwhelmed by it.
What do you mean unforgiveness for self? Well, there's somebody watching.
Yeah, well, they don't love themselves. Well, all those women, a lot of the women, didn't matter what was wrong, they did not love themselves because, just like I say, this is something about that culture and the war, the way they were raised.
It's hard for me to understand that you can't love yourself.
But yes. Val, you have no idea how many of these people don't.
Yes, they don't.
When, in fact, last year when we were over there, Cheryl asked that question. I know she was led by the Spirit to ask that question. But we'd never ask that question here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But over there, we were praying for people, women, with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, she says, do you love yourself? And, of course, the woman kind of rolled her nose up and, no.
Or who could love me?
Who could love me?
Who could love me? Mm-hmm.
You know, but just like the church secretary of that big church in Berlin, this lovely lady, which is in her 40s, carried us around, showed us things, took us places, all kinds of things, whatever we needed to do. She was at our disposal while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked to her a lot, we talked to her, and one of the things that we talked about was love. And after we prayed for people, saw these people didn't love themselves over there, she said, you know, y'all don't understand. She said, we were raised up with fathers over here, if we had fathers, and said, my daddy never, not one time in my life, ever has my daddy told me he loved me. Never. So she said, when I became a young woman and got out on my own working, and I, you know, started dating a young man, and said, we're going out together, and said, one night, he tells me, said, I love you. And she said, I thought, what does that mean? She said, he might as well have said, I want to buy you an apple pie. She said, it meant about the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Hmm. Love, I don't know what it is.
Oh,
yeah, they don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Because, see, they're not with God, and the only place you can experience love is in God.
Mm-hmm. Can I just take a minute? God, I thank you for bringing this couple into the lives of GLC to take this message around the world.
Amen. Well, we are seeing people get set free.
Yes.
When people love, I mean, didn't the Lord not say the very first commandment to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, and strength? And we understand that.
Yeah. Yes.
And then under this new covenant, he said, and love your neighbor
as yourself.
It's a commandment from God to love him, number one, and then your neighbor and yourself. So if you don't love yourself, you're breaking God's rules, and it'll open a door to a demon to come right in and put breast cancer on you.
Do we have that problem in this country?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have that problem over here, too. Not near as much as we have in Europe.
All the women didn't love
themselves. But this is probably one of the biggest problems that we have also with the Islamics. They don't love themselves. Oh, they don't love nobody.
Nobody, that's right. They don't know what love is. Mm-hmm. They are not taught love.
Yes.
They don't know what it is. In fact, I remember when I listened to one of the DVDs that you gave me about that Islam-Muslim guy, that terrorist that became a Christian whenever he had that wreck, mm-hmm. you know, and how he couldn't get healed. And he had been taught that these Christians were out to kill him, and so he was out to kill them first, and he'd killed 200. He said on that DVD,
yeah.
I've killed 200 people. And he had that wreck, and some guy walks up, gets him, puts him on the shoulder, and carries him to a hospital and says, I'm a Christian. And he said, what? A Christian is carrying me up here? I mean, I thought they were supposed to kill me. And then the doctor says, well, we realize you don't have any insurance, but we're going to take care of you.
No money.
Yeah, no money. Yeah. But I'm a Christian. He thought, this don't make no sense. And then when the doctor said, you're out of money and we can't keep you here no more. The hospital's not going to let me keep you. So I'm going to take you home with me till I get you healed because I'm a Christian. He said, this didn't make no sense to me at all. See, he could not experience love. He didn't know what it was. Now, where do we learn love? From our King. We learn how to love by reading and studying His Word. And if you're a Christian and you don't have a personal relationship with the King, you don't have any love in you. You don't know what it is either. Without God, you can't love nobody. But if you read the book, and the more you read the book, and the more the Holy Spirit takes control of your life, the more you become like the King. And so that love is manifest in you. And that's when you do good things for people. That's when you go give of yourself, and you're not even concerned about what's going to happen to you. You're just concerned about helping people. And so Cheryl picked up on that last year with those women. So many of them with breast cancer. And she's learned breast cancer comes from women that do not love themselves or women that have an unforgiveness toward another woman. You know, it'll bring breast cancer on her every time. You know, we see it over and over. And just like one of the ladies we brought out here with her and her husband just yesterday and made these shows, they heard me on another television network giving a testimony about my granddaughter. And so when their granddaughter, which is 28 years old, came up with a breast knot, and they took her to the doctor, she's 28 years old, and they do the biopsy, and it's cancer. The grandfather said, we've taken her to the Living Savior Ministries. No questions asked. So they brought her to me. I found the sin, got her to repent of her sin, prayed for her, and in days, the knot's completely gone. They take her back to the doctor to do another biopsy, which they've already confirmed it is cancer. They can't find a knot. No, they can't find nothing. Totally healed. That's been about 3 years ago. The girl's still healed. Well, the grandmother, that was in November of 2004. Well, in February of 2005, the grandmother now had a knot in her side for 15 years. And she said, you know, if God healed my granddaughter over there, He'll heal me. He don't love her anymore than He does me.
Come on.
So they come back over to my church and sat down. And she said, you know, I need this knot. Said, I have had a friend that had one of these knots in her stomach like this 15 years ago. At the same time, mine came up and said she went to the doctor and had surgery, and she died on the operating table.
Uh-oh.
So she said, after I saw her get her die, I said, I ain't having it. I'm just going to put up with mine. So she said, after what I've learned at your ministry, I'm learning there's a reason I have this. I said, yes. And she said, well, I know what it is. I said, what is it? She said, well, 15 years ago, my husband used to be a pretty bad guy. You know, he wasn't exactly that loving knight in shining armor. You know, he come back out of the Navy and he was a little bit, you know, wild. And so she said, I got some grudges against him for back yonder. But she said, he was a good provider, so I stayed with him. So she said, I know what's wrong. I got into unforgiveness toward my husband 15 years ago, and this knot came up my side. So she said, I have to forgive him, don't I?
15 years.
She'd carried that unforgiveness and had this knot for 15 years.
Uh-huh.
She'd been prayed over. Her husband prayed over. Her church prayed over. But this knot didn't go away because she had that unforgiveness. That Sunday, she looked at her husband and said, honey, I love you. I forgive you. I'm so sorry that I've carried this grudge against you for 15 years. Said, you're a fine man now. You're a good provider. You're a good Christian man. And I love you. And I forgive you. And I reached over and touched her and said, now, you spirit of hell, I command you to leave and for her to be healed in the name of Jesus. And the next week when she come to church, it ain't there.
Hallelujah.
After 15 years, it's not there. See?
We're so stupid, aren't we?
We are. Oh, you talk about stupid. We had a lady that came up in a prayer line, and she had breast cancer. And she had an unforgiveness against some sisters. And it was over the way they were taking care of the mother, you know. And so she repented for that. We laid hands on her, prayed for her. But she went the next week and went on and let them do the surgery. They got in there, and there wasn't any breast cancer. But they'd gone through under her arm and, you know, had messed her arm up. And she came back crying the next week saying, I'm so ashamed of myself that I didn't believe the prayer. Uh-huh. And she couldn't lift her arm, though, because mm-hmm. of the surgery that they'd gone and done mm-hmm. to her. So we prayed over her arm,
and
like
on
Sunday, and on Tuesday, she had her arm over her head. Yeah.
Did we serve an awesome? Is he merciful?
Oh, yes, he is.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, God wants to do things for his
mm-hmm.
children. We won't let him.
Yes. Amen.
You know, we just won't. He tells us to forgive, but we won't.
Yeah.
You know, we just, it's like, well, like I say, I challenge anybody, if they want to get an NLT, if they're American and read English, and you're fluent English, and everybody in America should be fluent English.
Yes, they should.
You know, mm-hmm. if you're over here and you're living in this country, you need to be fluent English. And you can be any nationality, but if you're going to live here, you need to speak fluent English.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You need to read English.
That's right.
We need to teach English in our schools.
Amen.
You know,
come on.
I mean. I'm sorry. This is just the way I am.
Welcome
I believe
to our
this
club.
Country's founded. We should have a nation that is on one language.
That's
now,
right.
You know, if you want to have some others, that's okay. But let's don't put everything in anything but English.
That's right.
And if you can't read that, then you can't read it. But if you can read English, and you will take this book, and you will read it, the NLT, and you'll read it. An hour a day. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you'll just give God an hour a day for a year, read it prayerfully and slowly. Don't try to speed read it.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, just read the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can read it in just a few. I mean, if you read it slow and easy, you can read it in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what then?
I have a question here.
I thought that was a good one for
that
you.
That is a good question. Does she have to go back to her husband who sexually molested her 20 years ago? And this is about being submissive to a husband.
Well, on this case, when it says, does she have to go back to her husband, is he still single? I would hope so. He may not be, but he says her husband sexually molested her 20 years ago. Now, first of all, I have a problem with this. When it says a husband sexually molested his wife, when this scripture teaches that the woman's body now does not belong to her, it belongs to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she is to never defraud her husband with sex. If he wants sex, she's to give it to him. It says the husband's body does not belong to him. It belongs to the wife.
Yes.
And if she wants sex, he is not to withhold his body from her. That's written in this book, Al.
That's right.
That's written in this book. It even says that if you go to prayer and fasting, you're not to do it for an extended period of time for that reason, that you open the door to the devil in your sexual desires. He says, don't stay too long in fasting and prayer so that, because he says, when you fast and when you pray, you're not to have sex. That you're to totally give yourself to God. A lot of people don't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
But it's written in this book. If Cheryl and I were to go on a 30-day fast, we are to fast and seek God. We're to have no physical relations between her and I in those 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, as soon as the fast is over, then you're to give yourself to each other again so you don't give place to the devil in your weakness.
And has never been taught on this station before. Thank you.
Right.
But it's in this book.
Yes.
It is in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, first of all, I don't know why this woman was sexually molested by her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because she should not have been. A woman was made for her husband. Now her husband is to treat her with love and respect. And one thing, too, a man is never to do, and a lot of people don't know this either, it says in here that when a man and a woman, even when you're married, the man is to never have sex with a woman when her blood is flowing. Mm-hmm. Never.
That's right.
Now, a lot of men do that, but that'll put you under a curse from God. God tells you, you're to stay away from that woman sexually when her blood is flowing. You know, you're not to have sex with her during that time.
Yes.
I know I've taught that in my church, and I've had a lot of men come up to me and say, wow, I got to repent. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've even had women said, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're not to, body is not to be defiled when she's flowing her blood.
Mm-hmm.
And after she's cleansed and purified, then it's okay to come back together again. But first of all, the woman should always yield to her husband when he wants sex. He should be gentle, you know, and loving and kind. And you a woman should never be molested by a husband. And if a woman left a husband because he wanted sex, there was something wrong with this case. And I can't answer all these questions without sitting down with these people and finding out the situation. But a man and a woman is to give themselves to each other. Now, you're not to give yourself to anyone else under no conditions. Never is a woman to have sex with anybody but her husband, and never is a man to have sex with anybody but his wife. Now, all these issues are answered in this book. And if somebody doesn't know this, all these questions you will find under the New Covenant. You know, they're very clearly laid out in here. So, if a man and woman do what they're supposed to, he won't ever have these kind of problems.
But if a man and woman will do what they need to do, then you've got a great team. Is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got a great team, you know, and, you know, I mean, if you read this book like it's written, God tells you everything you need to know about life.
Yes, he does.
The reason we don't know these things is because we don't read this book.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And another reason, a lot of pastors and, you know, I'm not talking evil about a pastor, but a lot of pastors don't feel comfortable talking about sex in his church. And a lot of them don't. So they won't.
Yeah.
And they sure, you know, won't say some of these things that's written. You know, but I will. If it's written in this book, I talk about it.
Well, why not?
I mean, God.
If God wanted it said.
And obviously, God wanted it talked about. And if he's going to hold me accountable, I better do what he says.
Amen.
Because, I mean, he could take me out in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen him do it to men. I mean, I know a pastor one time that looked across at a man and God spoke to that man, told that man, said, you go over and tell that preacher that if he don't go on a diet and lose some of that weight, he weighs 350 pounds, he's going to be dead in 6 months. He needs to control his flesh. And that pastor wouldn't do it. He didn't. He said, God, I can't do it. He said, I can't go over and tell him that he's going to have to stop eating and lose weight or he's going to be dead in 6 months. I just can't do that to him. And he wouldn't. And in 6 months, that man was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But God's going to hold that man accountable
mm-hmm.
that he spoke to. I wouldn't want to be that man.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of us men that stand in these pulpits, God's going to hold us accountable for mm-hmm. this book. One of these days, I'd hate to stand in his presence and he would say, you didn't preach my word.
Yeah.
You were ashamed of me. I told you what to tell my people, and you didn't tell them. Now, I sent you out to minister to the sick, and you didn't. I sent you out to get the lost sheep, and you didn't go get them.
Yeah.
Like he said, Ezekiel has a powerful story about the shepherds that he sent out, and they didn't do what he told them. And boy, God told Ezekiel, I have this against these shepherds.
That's right.
He was on their case. Well, I don't want to be one of those.
No.
Everything he shows me and reveals to me in this book, I'll talk about it. Because I know a little bit about what it takes to get people healed. And anybody can come to me. They can call. They can come to our ministry center. We don't charge for ministry appointments.
Yes.
You know, they can come. We've got other people besides myself and my wife that knows these things, to sit down with them, talk with them. They can call us on the telephone. We spend hours on the phone. We've got several men and women that are ministry that have been miraculously healed over the last few years. You know, that would be happy to talk with these people about anything they want to talk about. Because we have one goal, to bring people into the kingdom and keep and get them saved and healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I say something about this?
When do you have healing ministry.
Our healing schools are on the second Saturday of every month from 1 to 5 at our church in Dallas. It's on our website,
okay.
TLSM.org. 1 to 5 every second Saturday. We teach a 4-hour, sometimes it goes into 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. This Saturday, actually.
Yeah, it is this Saturday. Yeah. That's right. We get to do one day after tomorrow.
Could I say something about this?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I was sexually molested, and I pick up on it a lot of times with women as a little girl. Anyway, we know that it's a demon. If you're being sexually molested, it's a demon in this person. Mm-hmm. We had one lady that we went to a church in Arkansas, and the pastor and his wife sent her specifically to pick us up. And it was a 2-hour drive back in the rain to where we were going. And on the way there, she talked about how she was molested by her dad from the time she was 3 till she was 18. There were 6 children, 3 girls. They would fight over who would be on the bed, under the bed, or in the closet, because the father, you know, molested one of them all the time. Mm-hmm. And he broke her jaw twice. He broke her nose twice. He threw her down a flight of stairs. And then the next day at the dinner table, he would say, "What happened to Susie?" And they'd say, "Well, you're the one that did that to her." And he wouldn't remember anything about it because he was being controlled by a demon. Mm-hmm. Well, not only did her father do this to her, but his brother, and as he was raping her, his sons walked in, and he held a gun on them and made both of them rape her, too. Her half-brother also did this to her, so she didn't have a very good life, okay?
That's so hard.
And she told some people at school, and they still wouldn't do anything because everyone was afraid of this man. He must have been a hard man to deal with. Okay, she tried to kill herself 3 times. At 17, she went to heaven. And she also went to hell. The Lord took her both, whoever, the angel, whomever took her. And he told her that if she had unforgiveness against her mother, she hated her mother because she knew her mother knew what was going on, but her mother wasn't stopping it.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed her a vision of her mother with all 6 kids in the car trying to leave, and she was the youngest. And he has a gun on her head and tells the mother, "If you leave me, I'll start with the youngest, kill them, and then I'll kill you and kill myself." So her mother, all those years, had been afraid of him, that he would wipe out the family.
Yeah.
So when he told her, he said, "You have to forgive your mother and all these people that have hurt you, because if you don't, this is where you're going to stay, in hell, because of the unforgiveness." At 17, he tells her this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she comes back, she forgives everyone, and then she ends up, when she's 18, she meets a man that asks to kiss her, and that's who she ended up marrying. When she marries him, she bleeds the night of their wedding and everything. The Lord totally restored her. She has 2 children. At 24, her dad gets sick, and she goes back to see him. And that night, he was supposed to go to the hospital, but he didn't. He ends up getting in the middle of the night, hits her, and rapes her. Okay? Yeah, I know. This is a horrible story. But then a few months later, he does go to the hospital. She leads him to Christ. He says, "How could you forgive me when I've done all this horrific stuff to you?" And she said, "Because God loves me." And so she led him to Christ. He lived 5 more years, became a Christian. So he went to heaven and everything. And, you know, God is so merciful.
God.
But she was in pain. We prayed for her. And her problem was she had unforgiveness against self. Again, and she had not broken that soul tie with her father when he raped her at 24.
And after all that,
praise
she got
God.
Healed.
Yes.
And got set free.
Dear
and
Lord.
a morphine pump in her body and chronic pain.
There is nothing impossible with
God. Nothing impossible with God. You just got to meet his criteria.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we don't understand it, but we're doing our best to teach people.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the shortest 2 hours in television. Because when it happens in this place, it's gone. Yeah. God bless you, too. Thank you for being part of GLC.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for having us.
Tommy talked him into staying, and I'm glad she did. So, oh, boy. Remember, do pray for peace of Jerusalem and get your life going with Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.